Welcome back to another episode of Sales with Aslan. I'm your host, Tom Stanfill, and I'm looking at my partner in crime, Tab Norris, the best co-host on the planet. Tab, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic. It's always good to be here. It's so good to be a co-host. So good. It's a great job. It's a great job.
This part of the podcast reminds me of what somebody said to me the other day. We had a client in the Aslan International headquarters, which we're now going to, I think we're going to call it a think tank. I think that's got a better, Mark and I came up with that today on a call. Let's call it a think tank. We're here at the International Think Tank. They're like, yeah, we love the podcast. We just always skip the part where you and Tab talk at the beginning, the banter at the beginning.
Okay. They just get right past that.
Yeah, which is, I skip past the ads when I listen to a podcast, but they're skipping past us. So I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of a critical,
that's, you know, a little feedback, bit,
but it also means that it was valuable. So
they remembered it.
No, but I appreciated the feedback. So, you know, we talked about this in prepping for this episode. Now we're getting into the content. So we're gonna have less banter.
Okay. Hey, you know what? We ought to do. Build in more banter in the regular part of the show.
Yeah. We'll spread banter out. Or you know what we ought to do? What? Let's add the banter to the end.
That's it. Then they can just shut it off. Yeah. You and I can have fun.
If you want to hang out. Yeah.
And here's some
if you're lonely. And we'll put the banter at the end.
Yeah,
now it's time for banter. We'll catch up on all things, you know, how your back's doing and everything else.
I like it.
But as we were talking about this episode, and because we're coming to the end of the year and we're doing some analysis of, you know, our client base and what's happening in the market, what's happening with how customers buy, it's becoming increasingly obvious that the companies that tend to reach out to us, or the challenge they have, is how do we do more with our existing customers?
Yes. So
right.
True.
How do we, you know, we've worked so hard, spent so much money to, and marketing kind of bears that burden of bringing customers in, and now they're an existing customer. How do we leverage our team of reps, our account executives, account managers, sales? They all have everybody's different names for them, but it seems like a lot of the companies we serve are struggling to get their account managers, their existing sales organization. How do we go deeper and wider in the accounts? How do we grow? How do we move upstream? How do we defend? And so if you are in one of those organizations, we want to talk about what are the challenges of motivating them and equipping them to grow those accounts and move higher and deeper into the account, because they're unique. Don't you agree? You agree, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing it's because it's not, you'd think it's just easy. You know, like you already have an existing relationship. You're already in there. You know, it's going to be no big deal. But what we find is there are all kind of obstacles. There are all kind of things that keep that from happening. And it's just it's rich, right? I mean, it's a ripe environment. There's so much money there. I mean, you think about it, over all these years, how many companies we've seen when they pull this off, the amount of revenue that's been left on the table because the account managers didn't feel comfortable making that change. So,
which is one of the things we want to talk about, is how do we get them to embrace, that role? Because I think often to the leadership team, as I was having a conversation recently, it was like, look, they're just going around all our account, or they call them account executive. They're all going around, they're giving high fives and hugs, but they're not selling. and he said to me, I want them to be tigers.
Yeah.
And I realized as he was talking about it and the way he was thinking about it, it's obvious that the need, right? We have another client I'm thinking about is like, you know, they have a rep that sells A and exclusively sells A in these accounts, but there's other reps in the company that sell products B, C, and D. And they don't care about products B, C, and D. They only want to talk about A. And so how do we get them to move from, hey, we could be providing all of these products and services, but how do we get, so it's a kind of an obvious to most leaders, obvious that we should be doing the work to sell the total solution. But to the people that gravitate to the role of an account manager, which are the people that are in organizations that are serving existing accounts, they're more farmers than hunters.
Yeah.
It's not obvious to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're a lot of times they're just like, Tab, I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm really comfortable. I got a great thing going. Everybody loves me. I'm making plenty of money, you know, and they got a good life, and they're just kind of thinking it's, you know, just kind of cruising along.
Or maybe they just aren't as motivated. They're not motivated by commission. And that's what you're saying.
That is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's like, well, we'd pay you more money. I don't care. If I were driven by money, I'd be a hunter. Yeah, I would go work for a SaaS company and they'd pay me a lot of money to go out and find companies and bring them in. Mm-hmm. I'm here because I like our products. I like our industry. I'm passionate about what we do. I'm not necessarily motivated by a commission check.
Yeah. And I like it. I think this is another part of that too. Mm-hmm. Not only are they motivated by that, they're motivated by more than just hunting, more than just landing a deal. That's what I've noticed, because there are some people, you know, that are wired. It's all about the challenge, the adventure, the rush of new, and boom, and there's money in the bank and it's awesome. And as soon as that's done, they can't wait to go find the next one.
Yeah. But they're a lot bored of by the management.
They're bored.
The
and the account manager's like, oh, this is so amazing. I just got this new account that I get to build new relationships, and I get to get involved in this project. Yeah. And I get to watch them kind of expand and grow and utilize our software or utilize our solution. Mm-hmm. And that makes them happy.
They take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to make them happy. And we're probably be best friends for the rest of our life. You know, whatever. And the hunter didn't think of that. It's like, this is wasting my time. It's time to go. I got to go shop. I got to go get something new. So,
well, and I think we could net all that out by saying there is a DNA of an account manager mentality, whatever you call them. If you're primarily growing existing accounts, right, and you live or die by your ability to grow the relationships that you have, mm-hmm. or defend the relationship, the people that gravitate to that role, and this is such an important truth, have a completely different DNA than people that are going out and hunting for logos, as you just described. And if you don't understand that DNA, and you don't know how to talk to them, how to train them, how to provide the right process and approach, it will fail miserably. They're not going to change.
Yep.
And totally so because true. Another way to say that is, if you train them like hunters, they're not going to hunt.
That's right.
Let's go kill things. They're like,
we've seen people try that for a long time. It just doesn't work.
Well, one of the things that I said to the guy I think he was the COO or CRO, my first thing I said to him is, golden retrievers are never going to be tigers. He's like, he wants them to be tigers.
Yeah, exactly.
Golden retrievers are never going to be tigers, but golden retrievers can be extremely successful in this role.
Yeah,
because tigers are never going to work in this role.
That's right. You're not going to get tigers to do this role.
No. So, but you've got to know how to motivate them. And I think that's where we should start.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that we see works, and these are just recommendations that we're going to, you know, share with you on helping a account management organization get better at growing their accounts, is the first thing we need to do is redefine the role.
Yes.
And because if we start using words like need to sell more, they get what you're saying, but they resist it.
Yeah.
Right. And so what we like to do, and I think we found works very well, is talk about the four levels of selling. Mm-hmm. And the lowest level is relationship management.
Oh yeah.
It's like, without saying you're a relationship manager, we start by saying this is just true. The lowest level is relationship manager, which is the goal is, we're here if you need me.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do anything unless you ask me to.
which, you know, when you start talking about it, and now you're thinking, well, is this what I do?
Yeah,
maybe I don't know. That. We're just going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about the four levels, and you can decide where you fit.
Yeah, you put yourself where you need to be.
The lowest level is, and we also will talk about a relationship manager or billboard, because those are the two things that the least professional will do, which is, one is, I'm here to manage your relationship if you need me. And people reach out to me all the time like that. Hey, I'm here if you need me.
Yes.
I'm available.
Exactly.
And I want to be your friend. Or billboard, it's, hey, this is what we offer. Hey, there's some things that we offer. Keep that in mind.
Right.
You know, it's a billboard of the latest
And don't you think this fits too? It can be you get in the mode of, you know, even when you offer solutions, you have that kind of mindset. It's punch the button. Here's my, I've memorized this and I just do it. It's a
billboard.
Yeah.
Hey, keep in mind, I was conducting an assessment for one of our clients, and I was riding along with one of the account managers. It was an industrial space, and he was meeting with what they typically relationship managers do is they meet with end users, the buyers, and they say, they meet with them and say, what do you want to order?
Yeah.
I'm here to take your order. I'm here to check in. I'm running my route.
Yeah.
How am I doing? What can I do for you today? And so on the way out, as I watched him have this conversation, he pokes his head into the GM's office and he just kind of says, hey, and you could tell the GM was like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah,
body language is like, I'm just going to keep turning this way. And yeah, whatever. I got to be nice to you because you do provide things for us. Hey, just want to let you know.
Yeah.
That we do this, and hey, if you need anything, you know, let me know. And he's like, I know, basically he's saying, I know I'm bugging you, but I need to, don't forget.
Yeah. Billboard. I'm here. Yeah.
It's a human billboard, very expensive human billboard. Yeah. And the GM goes, thanks. And then he just walks out and both people feel bad.
Yeah.
Yep. The rep feels bad. And the GM's like, it's just awkward.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
It's good.
So that's the lowest level, but the highest level, we don't need to go through all of them, but the highest level is a trusted partner. Mm-hmm. You know, the next level might be seller, mm-hmm. which is they're pushing stuff and they're more proactive, but they're pushing products and services. But the highest level is a trusted partner where it's not about selling. It's about earning a seat at the table. And it's about being able to communicate to the right people in the organization, I can help you get to where you need to go.
Right. And I had this conversation and I was doing a prospecting call on mm-hmm. Monday.
Yeah.
And talking to this guy, and it was funny that you brought up the tiger. He actually said, how can I turn house cats into tigers? It was the same idea.
Oh, wow.
It's like, that's the same thing.
Tiger just, thing's going around. There must be an
exactly.
Article on tiger.
It's a big tiger. Maybe mm-hmm. said lion. I don't know. He may have said lion. I'm sorry. That's probably what it was. But
let's just,
anyway,
this podcast, let's say tiger.
Okay. We'll stick with tiger. Yeah. But he was talking about exactly what you're saying. What he was saying is he wanted them to be trusted partners. Because he said, what I watch is they have just gotten into this rut of going, hey, what you got sitting around there on the desk for me, you know, like that. Yeah, and then what happened is there's a shift going on in the way the buyers are wanting to buy. And they've always just sold a product. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now guess what the customer wants? They want to do self-service on product.
Yeah,
they don't need a salesperson.
I don't need to spend time talking.
Well,
to you.
What do you think? You talk about having to rethink your role. If you want to stay in this, at this organization,
right,
you will become obsolete, but that scares them. So it's like, you can't just come in and say, hey guys, it's going to have to take a cultural change. And I think that's what you're talking about. It's not just, we're just going to flip the switch and change it. It's harder than that.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, you just can't say, go do this different thing. We have to equip them. We have to work through it and get that DNA, the house cat DNA or the golden retriever DNA, comfortable to thrive in that new world.
Yeah. And exactly. But it starts, as you know, by first inspiring them to say, what if you could earn a seat at the table where the key people in that organization, so instead of him being uncomfortable as he passes by the GM's office,
yes,
is that every time he's in the building, the GM wants to meet with him because he's like, hey, what else do you know about my business?
Yes.
Because this company that where I was riding with this account manager, I mean, they're one of the biggest in the world at what they do. They have hundreds of thousands of accounts, and they were calling on a relatively small company that manufactured cans for microbreweries. I mean, the company he worked for could squash them, you know, with a pencil. I mean, it's like, that was a stupid analogy, but you know what I'm saying? They're I mean, but he's working with their company's working with every company in, you know, probably in the, almost in the world, with the, not the world, but in the US anyway. who buys their products. And he had so much information that he could share.
Yeah.
And that would inspire him to say, look, this is where we're going.
Yes.
It's not about how you push something. Yeah. This is about having a role where you are seen as a critical element of the team.
Yeah.
And the relationships are better.
Yes. But you nailed it. So the first thing you have to do is redefine or reframe the role, right? Yeah. I mean, just we have to do that. And it's not like just a quick fix. We've got to, you know, make sure that change management happens.
Yeah. And the kind of way I talk, a simple way I talk about when you're training, it's either heart, hand, or head.
That's good.
Right. It's like, what do I know? What do I need to know? What am I emotional? What do I get emotional about? What am I inspired to do? What am I motivated to do? And hands are the skills.
Right.
Right. And so we got to first capture the heart. We got to get them excited about. And it's like, we say, look, and by the way, we don't want to tell them they're relationship managers, but through the description of the roles, and we define, hey, what's so great about being a trusted partner? Well, first of all, it's really fun.
Yeah.
People are asking you about everything in their organization.
They figure it out for themselves, Tom. That's really what you're saying. The heart thing, they have to figure out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah. So I think that's the key, is they've got to, and versus we got to sell more stuff. Mm-hmm. We got to get passionate about earning a seat at the table. And when we earn a seat at the table, we do need to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This isn't about being reactive. We need to lead, but it's about helping the customer solve their problems and providing them expertise. So it's like, hey, we want to. So if I'm meeting with a GM, or I've heard organizations talk about move from the concrete to the carpet. You know, they're at the manufacturing floor and we want to move up to the offices. We need to have the expertise to be able to say, if you want to accomplish that, we're working with hundreds of companies that do that. And I want to share with you best practices for how they're accomplishing it. So if they say, we're going to move in this direction, you go, well, actually, the companies we work with are moving in a different direction. That's how we are, quote unquote, selling. We're not pushing some product. We're saying, we're helping you reach your desired destination. And people can get behind that.
Yep.
If they can't get behind that, they don't need to be in the role.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Time and time again. So, yep.
Which kind of leads to the, I think another important point is really how we talk about or how we measure their role.
Mm.
The language that we use. Because as you know, Tab, I think most people, when they talk about selling, they use the typical sales metrics, and that doesn't excite account managers.
Give me an example of what you like for all the listeners. Like, we'd say something such as,
if you wanted to talk about opportunity to grow the account,
right?
You would say, what's your account share?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, you've got this percentage of the account, or what's your revenue per account? All those, the typical things that you measure. Like, I had a client that we were talking to about upselling. I mentioned this earlier in the call, on the podcast. And instead of saying you're not selling products A, B, C, and D, they have conversations about, have you talked to the other people? What other problems does this account have?
Ooh, now, and see, and you know what? Guess what? That account manager loves that, because fits. That fits into their why.
Yeah. So you create this dialogue around, look, we meet these five needs. Tell me about the people and the problems that they have related to those needs. And then obviously it's going to end up into being a account share conversation.
Yeah.
But account share is based on need that you're not meeting. It's not based on a number. It's based on real things. Hey, what's the world look like inside this account? What is happening at the, sorry, like if we talk about meetings, let's say we're saying we need to get more meetings in the account. Hey, how many people have you met? How many appointments? Versus who in the organization is running the divisions, and what are the problems on their whiteboard? And what do we know about that business? And let's look at the account blueprint that we've developed and see where there are gaps.
Yes. I love it. Well, yeah. I mean, and it reminds me of a client that we worked with where we're trying to create this, trying to move that in the direction. It's the same thing. What's our share within these six major accounts? And they were always talking about that.
Yeah.
And so we were getting nowhere. I mean, no one was doing anything. And it was like, hey, let's explore. I mean, I don't know if this is true or not. Don't, because you have great relationships with these people, but I'm just curious, could there possibly be some opportunity, like some problems that we could solve? We have a big list of solutions that they may not be aware of. Mm-hmm. Could there be some opportunity there? I'd love to do an experiment. I mean, if you'd be up for it, just try to maybe dig into one or two of those with a couple of these people that you're already talking to anyway, and just see, because if there's something there, obviously it would be a huge advantage if you could kind of bring that to their attention. Well, I mean, it instantly changed. They started uncovering millions of dollars of opportunity. And it was because they were doing exactly what you said. It was, they focused on the process and the why, and it wasn't, I'm going to go get more account share, because that's not what gets them excited.
Yeah.
What got them excited is fixing more problems for their clients.
Well, because their world that they see is defined by what the customer tells them, right? If the customer says, I'm interested in product A and I'm interested in 10 of them. Right. So then the typical leader goes, well, you should sell more product B, C, and D.
Yes.
And they're like, they don't. And here's what the rep thinks. They don't want B, C, and D.
Yeah. You're just trying to make me be selfish and just push what you want.
Yeah.
Me to
you
push.
Want more money. Exactly. And I want to take, I'm siding with the customer.
Right. That's it. That's a great way to say that.
They told me they only want A, and you want me to sell B, C, and D because you care about the company profits and you don't care about our customers.
That's it.
So if you change the language and the approach, you say, hey, did you talk to this division and these people to see what they need?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they have to say no. And then you say, why?
Yeah.
And the only answer is, I'm either lazy or I don't care about the customer.
Right. That's good.
And what I've found is no one will argue with the customer. So if you can represent the customer and say, yeah, I talked to the VP of manufacturing and this is what he told me was on their whiteboard.
Right.
And if you're a leader and you hear that, you go, okay, now maybe they miss some things, but they're like, great. And this is what's happening. They're expanding, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, or they're doing that. And right now they don't need B, C, and D because they're in the middle of an acquisition or the middle of this. But come January, they're going to, if a leader be going, that's awesome.
Yep.
Versus they don't need it. You need to sell more.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we all need to rally around how are we serving the customer. And when the conversation's about the customer and the different pockets of customers in the organization, then, it's like I was meeting with another company that was selling to Disney. And it was, I think it was a security company. And the need was, they were talking about the analytics for the IT group in the parks. It wasn't the parks. It was in one of the other divisions. I don't remember. I said, well, what's happening in the park? And they said, I don't know. Well, well, do they potentially need all these different solutions that you provide? Potentially, sure. Well, who determines that? I don't know. Well, and so we just started having different conversations. Like, it's like, oh, well, but because it was all driven by what this person, one person they were meeting with, was saying they need. And again, it was a reactive conversation.
Yes.
And if you're talking to a rep who doesn't care about the customer because they're like, I don't want to sell B, C, and D. I don't want to talk about B, C, and D.
Yeah, they're just lazy.
And it's because, it's because they don't want to, you make it about the customer. Like I had a conversation and I loved this, what this guy said. He was a leader for one of the organizations we were working with. And he said, yeah, some of our reps, this is what he said. If they're not motivated to explore needs throughout the organization, even if they don't represent the product, they're not going to work here.
Oh, yeah.
Now he didn't say, these reps could be super successful at selling their product, but they sold hundreds of products. And so he was just making it all about the customer.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And that just that also aligns with the value system of somebody who mm-hmm. has more of a quote unquote farmer mentality.
Yeah, that's good.
So what have you seen, Tab, is the toughest thing? Okay, so we've talked about kind of mindset, you know, mm-hmm. changing their role, how leadership talks about it. Kind of that's a lot about positioning. Yeah. What have you seen as some of the biggest barriers to actually getting them to learn how to sell solutions and consult with the customer?
Like the barriers that we're going to have to kind of have overcome.
Well, they'll say they're on board. They're like, yeah. Okay. You're right.
Now
I want to be a trusted partner. You got me. I see that I'm going to have higher loyalty. Right. I'm going to join I can convert more and probably make more money.
Yep. I'm sold.
I'm sold.
I'll tell you one that popped into my head immediately is they, just like a lot of us and everything that we do, they try to do too much all at once. Mm. Like, I'm a huge fan. Where I've had the most success on this with people is to do baby steps.
Yeah.
And I pick baby steps that they're going to be receptive to, that they can get their hands around. And Tom, I'm always looking for a victory. Mm-hmm. I want to get a victory, and then mm-hmm. I can build off that victory versus giving this big, broad, trusted partner. Here we go. Change the whole way you're doing everything. Radically do this, radically do that. And they just get overwhelmed and it didn't happen.
I think that's beautiful. I remember what you did for one of our clients, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, but I want to get more. Where you had them ask three questions.
Yeah.
You said, I want you to ask three questions on the next. You took a team. It was not only was it for the reps that were part of this experiment, but the results transferred to the whole organization. So tell me about that.
What it was is they were very tentative and all. It was a little bit more around we're going to explore. This is being a trusted partner. We're going to explore their other opportunities and problems out there we could solve. And so we did. We just said for this, and it was for, this was just for, this was one day I was there. Yeah. And I said, just for me, let's do it. We'll just work through me. It together. Just do it for me.
As one golden retriever to the other.
Exactly.
We're all friends here.
Exactly. And so I'm telling you, Tom, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. They were blown away because they kept hearing things like, oh yeah, we got a whole division over here that does this and this and this. And do you guys don't even, that's not what you do. And they're just going, are they crazy? Do they even look at our product list? Do they look at our manual? I'm like, your manual's as thick as the New York, phone book.
It's like just a very current.
They used
reference.
To have those. They used to have those a long time ago. But anyway,
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Encyclopedia Britannica. But we had World Book.
I think anybody over 50 probably gets that.
They do. That's mainly our crowd now. Yeah. I think. But you see what I'm saying? But it was so powerful because then you get a little victory and you get one victory and then it kind of spread around the floor, like other people start hearing about it. And so it really did accomplish what we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah. What was the number? Do you remember?
I think it was
crazy. $10 million in incremental revenue that team uncovered?
Yeah. Yeah. That would play out through the year. It was a crazy number. Like, yeah.
But I love that. Make it like, okay, so we're going to try this one thing. Mm-hmm. And it was all about, again, it was about the customer. Let's ask them if they have these needs. It's not about pushing anything.
Because they probably, they had been told before, we're not getting enough printer sales or we're not getting enough XYZ sales. Come on, team. Let's go make it happen. Sell more. And they're just like, turned off by that.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. I love it. Yeah. One of the things that I've seen organizations do that I'll recommend is talk to five customers.
Yeah.
So have customers. So if they're, wanting to develop their expertise, because that's the key to being a trusted partner, is learning to lead and having the expertise to lead. And so talking to your existing customers and ask five questions. It has nothing to do with what they need to order, but kind of it's hopefully, especially if they kind of move upstream a little bit and talk to kind of the director VP level and just where you've got a really good relationship and maybe not your relationship, but the company has a good relationship, and just interview them. and get a get more familiar with how they see the world. And that's something very tactical that they can do, and then share the learning. But I love that.
I think
one of the things too that I think is critical to this is we all want them to be proactive, but we have to give them the tools to be, to intuitively lead and be proactive versus just saying, try harder, work harder.
And that's we were kind of going down that road a little bit because but more than that, that was a little bit of both, right? A little mindset and kind of a, you could call that a tool, you know, here's your three questions that you can ask that it's a way to get them going.
No, I think that's great. I think what I'm specifically thinking about is that most difficult, I think, part of the transition for an account manager who really operates more as a relationship manager than a trusted partner is changing their role from, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here if you need me, which by the way, when you have that mentality, people think of you as more of a customer service rep, which means that you're not somebody I need to follow to solve problems. If you're acting like you're sort of in a fulfillment role, they're going to think of you that way. And so you say, I want you to change how you think about your role. And I want you to be a trusted partner, move upstream, earn a seat at the table, all those things. Like, yeah, that's a big leap. Well, how do I begin that process? And we talk about, and if anybody's listened to our podcast, they know one of our big elements of what we teach is drop the rope.
Yes.
And I think that's just so critical. That gives them comfort level to lead. If they say, hey, two things. One is, I want to focus on, here's the problems that we've learned we've solved. So I think that's another key element, is really get real comfortable with whoever they're going to call on and move beyond their existing relationships. What problems does the customer have?
Yeah.
Lead with that. Hey, we solved these problems. I don't know if you need those problems, which is a drop the rope. It's not trying to pull tug of war, force them to do anything, but we drop the rope and create a comfort zone and comfort level and just make it an option. We're asking. It's kind of like those questions that you do. We're just asking, hey, would you be comfortable? Like if that guy, that rep that was popped his head in the GM and said, hey, we work with a lot of GMs in this space who are doing what you're doing. They have these problems. I don't know if you have those problems, but if you do, I'd love to talk with you about what we've learned from other organizations to see if that could be something that could help you. Would you be open to that? Now, if they can say yes or no, and yes or no is okay.
Yeah.
And so now you're having this conversation about, I'm just making it an offer to move to a different level. You can say yes or no. Both answers are acceptable, but I'm asking.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think
that's very tangible.
Versus you better get the meeting.
Yeah.
And I think that gives them more comfort level to lead.
I agree. You know, another thing, Tom, I think when I think about tools, you know, that I think help, tell me if you think this fits, is you think about kind of our roadmap.
Yeah.
That we, you know, a discovery roadmap.
I think that's critical.
You know, I mean, don't you think? Because that's a tool that helps people realize. I remember doing this with a big technology company and some very seasoned reps, account managers. And that was one of the things they said. We kind of gave them this roadmap for other categories and places to explore. And they're just like, dang, I'm embarrassed. This is not that complicated, but my gosh, this is crazy. This is just a roadmap to help me find other opportunities that I've just not explored.
Yeah, so that is to me the most puzzling aspect of what we do is almost every time we meet with an organization and we say, okay, what's your framework? Another way to say this, what are the boxes that the reps need to fill in related to all the people inside the organization or all the divisions inside of an organization you serve? Show me the boxes. Like what the objective of the call, what tells you you have a complete understanding of all of the needs in the organization? Can you show me that framework?
Yeah.
No.
No, I know. It really is amazing. So,
and I get it. People are busy.
Example. They are, but that's a great example.
I think that is a really good point. It is that's one thing anybody could take away from this is if you could build a discovery roadmap, and I think of it, it's important is to develop it in three levels. Kind of what sort of the end users that typically buy from you.
Yeah.
You know, then there's sort of the mid tiers, like what's happening in department. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with a lab in a hospital, mm-hmm. right? Who are the people in the lab and what do they buy? What analytical equipment do they buy in the lab? And then who runs that department? Yep. What do they need? And then who runs
the hospital?
Maybe the hospital or the research. Yep. And so if you think of your discovery roadmap in those three levels,
That's really what it was. It was that they were missing the top level, and they realized they were missing the top level, and they're like, gosh, that's good. You know? So it's a great tool mm-hmm. to get them kind of their eyes open to that. So
another way to think about it is there's product, project, and total opportunity.
Yeah.
What's happening at the product, there's the product need. There's a project need. This doesn't work for everybody. And then there's a total opportunity. So if you think mm-hmm. about that and you can develop that tool, I could fully agree that that's critical, because then if you can build that into your CRM,
yep.
but if you have empty boxes that need to be filled in about the customer, not about selling more, but about the customer that mm-hmm. drives the products you offer, that becomes easier to have those conversations. I think that's critical.
Yep.
Tab, any other parting wisdom as we think about,
I think that's plenty. We don't want to overwhelm anybody with goodness.
Beautiful.
Goodness. Beautiful. But I think this was great. I mean, it's always inspiring. I can always tell it's a great podcast when I've got notes and I'm fired up to go sell something. So
I love it. Yeah. Well, you know, and something I'll always say to the organizations that we're working with, that have this type of DNA, type of sales organization, this kind of DNA, it is so much easier, I think, to get them, the kind of a typical account manager, to get better at serving their customers than taking a hunter mentality and trying to get them to serve their customers. Because ultimately, it's all about serving. You're more successful when you serve your customers because you know what problems they have. They're more willing to talk to you about the problems they have because you want to serve them. They're willing to meet with you. They're willing to share the truth and all those things. If you are leading and if you are proactive and you understand how to influence and discover and all the capabilities related to being good at our job, all those doors open if we have that right mentality. And it's much easier to take somebody who has the mentality and give them the hands, work on their hands. Yeah. Right, work on the hands and the head because the heart's in place versus somebody's like, I don't care about the customer.
Yeah, that's hard to change.
I just want a commission. So that's you've got a great foundation to start.
It's good.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Sales with Asland. As always, we love comments and feedback so we can get better and because it also helps us shape what we talk about. Tab, have a great next week, and I'll talk to you on the next episode of Sales with Asland, or maybe in between.
Maybe so.
Maybe potentially next week we might be together for your big day.
Yes, we better be.
Yeah. Oh, come on, tell the audience what's happening.
All right, one of my sons is getting married next week, so we're excited.
Oh, now we're in the band. We're back to banter.
We're back to bantering. This is perfect.
So if you want to leave, you can leave now.
Yeah. But so anyway. Exciting times. Man.
Your first, that was one of the biggest days in our family is when our kids got married. That was just such a cool thing.
Yep.
Congrats.
Awesome.
All right, man. Thanks.